This is a different microphone. The other one must have died. So I'll start over by saying good morning, everyone. Welcome to the last Sunday of 2013. I've never had a worse year in my life. Can I get a witness? Amen. I'm telling you what, I had somebody tell me, well, just be hopeful, you know. And I said, yeah, that 2014's coming. I'm glad 2013's going to be over. As a matter of fact, I'm not a superstitious person. I don't believe in all that. But if there was ever a time that I could have been converted, it could have been this year. 13 has just been bad. But God is good nevertheless. He has brought us through it. And we are looking forward to a new year with new challenges and new opportunities. And, you know, we still serve the same God. Amen. And so I prayed just last night even that whatever years I have left, that those years will be my best years. That the years past were just leading up to the good days. I don't want the remainder of my life, however long that may be, to be a time of dwindling and a time of fading away. I want to go out in a blaze of glory. If you would, turn to Psalm chapter 23. A very familiar passage of Scripture and one of which I have preached from here before. But I want to look at Psalm 23 as our text to guide us in this coming year. Psalm chapter 23. We don't do this very often, but if you would, once you turn to Psalm 23, would you stand with me and let's read this together aloud? Psalm 23, verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and your staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Lord, we thank you so much for allowing us to come into this house today. And Lord, to lift up praise unto you. And Lord, to experience the blessing of your presence. And so God, now we ask that you would fill this room. Lord, that your Spirit would encompass each and every one of us. Lord, that as your man stands behind the pulpit today, that my voice will not be heard, but that the voice of God through this willing vessel will be heard loud and clear by the willing ears and open hearts. And so, God, I pray that today will be a day that we remember, not for anything that I have said, but for what you have said to each and every one of us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Psalm chapter 23 is one of those beloved passages that we hear read during some of the worst times of life. And I will go on record and say once again that 2013 was not the best of years. But I can tell you this, it wasn't the worst of years either. And I'm so thankful to say that come 2014, we have a faithful God, a shepherd that will shepherd us through whatever lies ahead. And no matter what that may be, whether it be persecution, whether it be trials, whether it be sickness, whether it be death, whether it be the most worst, scary thing we can imagine, or the most blessed blessing that we could ever hope for, God will still be there. He will still be leading us. And all he asks is that we be faithful sheep, willing to let him be the shepherd. Amen? Amen. And so I would like for you to go with me through this passage of Scripture today and look at several things about it. And I want to tell you right now, I'm ready to preach. I'm excited. I don't know what I'm about to say, quite frankly. I'm just going to let the Holy Spirit lead. Why? Because I need a touch from God. I don't know about you. I just need to know that the Holy Spirit is working, that He's alive, that He's real, and that He can still do miracles, and He can still move in our lives, and He can still change circumstances. He can still answer prayers. He can still change lives. He can still meet needs. He can still do things that the doctors say can't be done. Amen? He can still do things that men and women think that they can never do, but He can work through us and cause things to take place that we could have never dreamed possible. Why? Because He's still God. Amen? There's a devil out there that's real. There's a devil out there that's waging war. There's a devil out there that wants to silence Christians. There's a devil out there that wants to discredit the Bible and discredit the gospel and bring dishonor to the name of God. And there's a devil out there, there's an enemy out there with his minions, his armies, his legions that are arrayed against us in every form, even secretly, incognito, working through people that we may even think are our friends. There is an enemy out there that is out to destroy us, and he's out to discredit the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm thankful that we have a shepherd that watches over us. I'm thankful that we have a shepherd who says, for his name. Look at this. In verse 3, he restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. Why? For his name's sake. Amen. Folks, I can rest assured that whatever we face this coming year, whatever we have poured out upon us, whatever we're forced to go through, no matter how deep the valley nor how high the hill, whatever we're going to go through, if we're the sheep in the shepherd's flock, he's going to watch over us because he has a reputation to protect. And you know what? That tells me that he's not going to be defeated. That tells me we don't have to be defeated. That tells me that no matter what, he's going to discipline us. He's going to use that rod, and he's going to use that staff, and he's going to bring us back into the fold. And wherever we decide we're going to run off, when we decide we're going to mess up, when we're going to do things stupid, you just might as well be prepared. If you're in the flock, there's a rod that's going to break some legs. There's a hook on the end of that staff that's going to bring you back. Why? Because Jesus has a name to protect. We have a good shepherd. And I'm so excited that when we go into this next year, no matter what we may face, we have a good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. You know, there's one thing to say that he is a shepherd, but can you say he's my shepherd? If you can say that today, the Lord is my shepherd, just like David said, you got something to talk about. If you notice here in the first few verses, verses 1 through 3. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. He's talking to you and he's talking to me. He's proclaiming a truth. He's making a statement, a declaration. He's saying, folks, listen to me. I've got a story to tell. Do you have a story to tell? You should after this past year. And I hope you have one to tell in the coming year. The Lord is my shepherd. He says, I shall not want. That's a futuristic statement. It's pointing towards the future in faith. Because of the shepherd that I have, because of his track record, because of his testimony, hallelujah, because of what he's done in the past, I know this for sure. Come tomorrow, come next month, come next year, if he's still my shepherd, and he will be, because once I'm his, I'm never going to not be his, I shall not want. Why worry? Why get upset? I belong to him. He's going to lead me in the paths that are straight. He will make me lie down in green pastures, even though I might not want to. If I need the rest and I don't want to take the rest, he'll make me take the rest. Why? Because he's the shepherd and I'm the sheep. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Let me tell you about him. Let me tell you something else about him. He leads me beside the still waters, and he restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. For his name's sake, let me tell you about him. That's who he is. He's my shepherd. But you know what? You get down into verse 4, and something changes. David all of a sudden goes from telling you about who God is, to saying, God, you are. Look at this. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou, you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you, thou, art with me. Folks, let me tell you about the shepherd. This is who he is. And now God, as I'm telling about this person, as I'm telling these people about you, I just got to turn back and say, yep. You are the one who led me. You're the one who leads me still. You're the one who restores my soul. And this is how you did it. This is where you do it. You lead me through the valley of the shadow of death, but I will fear no evil because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Thou prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. Folks, if there's one thing that we should understand, that there are going to be times, as David is making clear here, that we're going to walk through a valley, and the only person that we may have with us is God. He didn't say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I've got a whole church congregation with me. No. Because sometimes the only person that's going to be able to walk through that valley is the shepherd with you. No matter how dark and how deep the valley may be, you're never alone. Because you have a shepherd that is going with you, and he's leading the way. He knows the way. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Isn't that good to know? I don't know if you could picture this, but picture between two hilltops, a deep valley, where the sun cannot shine, where there's nothing but shadows, nothing but darkness. I remember being in one of the things that just struck me as so just unnatural was back in the days when I had the chance to go to Romania. We were going through Transylvania. Yeah, Transylvania. We're talking Dracula, the Wolfman. You could be on the road and look out into the woods. 3 feet in, it was dark. I mean, it was weird. I mean, you drive down the road here, you look out in the woods, and you see a little bit of green. It gets a little bit darker green, and it gets a little, and then you just can't see any further past the trees. You go over there, it's just like, here's sunlight, here's monster land. And I'm like, I don't know if Dracula and all these other things are real. I'm not going to argue with you because I'm not going to try to find out. But I can tell you one thing. I don't want to go out in those woods without a gun. It was scary. Can you imagine a valley like that? That as soon as you enter into the valley, there's no one else that seems to be around you, that you're all alone, it seems, but you can rest in the assurance that your shepherd is there. It doesn't matter what you go through. Once you know, once you have experienced it, once you have faith in your shepherd, you can be like David and have no fear. What a wonderful feeling to be able to walk into a hornet's nest and not even worry about getting stung. About walking into a den of lions and not even have to worry about getting bit. God's such a good God. He's a great shepherd. He can go with us through the worst valley. But you know, the problem is that there's so many times we get in that valley and we're just like Peter. We take our eyes off of him. We look at the waves. We look at the darkness. We forget that we're going somewhere and he's leading. and we forget to follow Him. That's when we get off the path a little bit. That's when we get stuck in the briars. That's when we get cut up a little bit. That's when we get wounded. That's when we get afraid. And that's when sometimes that's when the shepherd has to come along and use that rod and that staff to discipline us and get us back on the path. But why does He say, "I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me"? It's because we know God knows how to do things right. We know that whatever enemy, no matter what kind of trial, no matter what kind of problem that we may face, no matter what lurks in the darkness, He can handle. So why should we be afraid? "You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." You know, when people are fixing to go to battle, some of you that may have been in combat, if you knew that the enemy was looking at you, the last thing you want to do is set out a big table full of dinnerware. You know, and sit down and wait for someone to serve you. That's not what you want to do, is it? That would get you killed. But you know, that's exactly what is being said here. In the presence of mine enemies, in the presence of all those who want my destruction, I have a shepherd that I can trust so much. Even though the wolves and the lions and the bears are looking at me and licking their lips, I have a shepherd that prepares a table before me. He says, "Sit back and relax. Let me serve you. Let me take care of you." Go back to the first part of the chapter. He says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul." There are times, like David said in Psalm 55:6, where he said, "If I could just have the wings of eagle, I would fly away from here. I would just get away from it all." And there are times when we're in the fight. There are times when the enemy is looking at us. There are times when troubles are around us at all sides, and we begin to get afraid. We begin to fear. We begin to want to run and fly away. Maybe even to end it all. And God says, "I'm your shepherd. Trust me. Here, let me make you lie down. Let me serve you in the presence of your enemies. Relax. I've got this." Isn't that good? But isn't that so hard to do? Oh, sure it is. That's why sometimes He has to make us lie down. You know, when we get worried, when we get stressed, it shows a lack of faith, does it not? It shows a lack of faith in our shepherd. But you know what? Sheep are dumb. Sheep are forgetful. Sheep are so stupid that if they were left alone and to themselves, they would walk off a cliff. Do you know that? Sheep need a shepherd. Don't expect to make it through this life unharmed and to the other side without one. We need Him. We need Him bad. Because we are sheep. And quite frankly, folks, we're stupid. Isn't that hard to hear, though? Our society teaches us to build up self-esteem, to tell each other, "You're smart, you're good, you're wonderful, you're all that. Here's a ribbon for 15th place." We don't want to hurt your self-esteem. But God tells us, "I made you, I know you. You are stupid without me. You have no wisdom without my wisdom. The wisdom of this world is foolishness. You need me. As a matter of fact, you need me so bad that without me, you'll die. But with me, you have eternal life." through the valley of the shadow of death. This could be interpreted different ways, I come to find out. But this is the way I would like to picture it today. Do you realize, I hope you're still with me here, just pay attention and we'll almost be done. Do you realize that nowhere, maybe with the exception of one or two, but for the most part, in all of the Bible, shadows are never a bad thing? Why? Here's a good example. Dwelling under the shadow of the Almighty. In the shadow of His wings. Shadows aren't a bad thing. Yet we read here that it's through the valley of the shadow of death I will fear no evil. You know why? Because a shadow can't hurt you. And so I sort of drew a picture on a piece of paper while I was studying this, and try to picture this in your mind. Here on one side is a hilltop where when we are up on the top, we can see as far as we can see. I mean, we can see all the way out to the end. We can see the end of the journey. We can see the hope. We can see the reward at the end, and we're so excited. But then once you go down in that valley, you can't see what's on the other side, can you? It's dark down there. There's some light coming from somewhere, and it's creating a shadow. And you've got to walk through that shadow. Sometimes we look at that shadow and it scares us because of what it looks like. Reminds us that maybe it might be something bad, and so it may scare us. So we see the shadow, and it's hard to see what's causing the shadow because of maybe the light behind it. And so as we're walking through this valley being led by the shepherd, we see the shadow that we have to pass through. You know what the Bible says about death? The Bible says that death is an enemy, but guess what? It has been defeated. That death was defeated on the cross. And so you know what? At first I saw in my mind, and drew this on a piece of paper, an image of death. You know, death, the kind that wears the big hood and has the big stick and all this other type of stuff, you know. Here he is standing. Look, imagine this. Here's death, and he's got this big old sickle right in front of him. And it's creating the shadow. We look down and we see the shadow, and that's what we think it is. But guess what? When we look up, you know what we see? We see a cross. You know what? The reason we don't have to be afraid of death, the shadow of death, is because it's nailed to a cross. And the shadow is just nothing but a reassurance that death can't hurt us anymore. That's why we don't have to fear. He's leading us through the valley of the shadow of death. Death has been defeated, and it's nailed up there for everyone to see. And faith is what helps us to see what the eyes can't see. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that eye has not seen and ear has not heard what He has prepared for us. But He has revealed it to us by His Spirit. With faith, you can see through that mountain. With faith, you can see beyond what the darkness hides. By faith, you can see what David saw. He said in verse 6, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." I don't have to worry about what valley I'm going to go through, even if it's the valley of the shadow of death. I don't have to worry about what I'm going to face because I've got a shepherd who will take care of me. I don't have to worry about what enemies come and confront me. I don't have to worry about what needs I may have because I will never want. He will always provide what I need. I don't have to worry about fighting and defending myself. He's the one with the rod and the staff. I don't have to worry about all this stuff. Why? Because whatever is in front of me, He's got, and behind me, I've got goodness and mercy taking care of the rest. And this is going to happen all of my life. Why? Because all of my life I'm going to be His. And I will dwell I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We're going somewhere. We may be in a valley. 2013 may have been a rough valley. And 2014 may even be darker and deeper and more thornier and more rugged and more stressful. But we can still find peace. We can still find comfort. We can still find rest. We can still be led by those cool streams. We can still be laid down in those green pastures. We can find the sustenance that we need through a shepherd that is protecting his own name. And know that eventually, one day, we will come out of that valley. We will come out on the other side in the brightness of day where we will finally be home. And there we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. No matter what you go through, you have the assurance of a shepherd and the hope of a home. So 2014 should be a good year, shouldn't you think? Because he's my shepherd. Is he yours? If he is, don't be afraid. Just follow him, trust him. Know he will never leave you nor forsake you. Know he will take care of you. Know that he will meet those needs. Trust him. Follow him. Hold on close to him. Get up tight. He knows where we're going. And he'll take you through the other side. Amen. Let's stand and bow our heads if you would.